The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. And you're listening to Matt Slick Live. That's what I say almost every opening there. And today, for the podcasters, is February 9th, 2022. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits, spell C-A-R-M. That's the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, carm.org, on the Internet, which has had... I gotta update it. It's had, I think, 148 million visitors. That's quite a bit. And so praise God for that. If you want to join us on the air, you have a question about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, UFOs, the occult, you can, you know, Christian doctrine, evolution even, you can call up and we can talk. And that reminds me, I've been doing a study on black Hebrew Israelite stuff, which really I'm finding out is really they just call themselves Hebrew Israelites, but the BHI is the more common term. And let me tell you, I'm on something called Clubhouse, and there's some BHI people there. And so I've been having conversations with them periodically, and I'm laying low because I'm still learning about it. That's how I don't know everything. And so what I do is I collect information, I take notes, and so far my notes on the early version of this are just 5 pages long, and that's 8.5 by 11. That's nothing. And so there are different groups, and what I want to do is get the generic understanding of all of them, which I'm pretty much getting it, and then there are different groups, GMS, GOCC, there's the ISUPK, there's the Ram Gadol Gabayam, there's the Sakari, and what I have to do is go through these subgroups of the Hebrew Israelite movement and find out what particular things they affirm and deny. And then I'm going to put them in a table and list out those things so that people can say, hey, that's what they teach, oh, that's where it is. And what I found is interesting about them, now get this, I had a conversation about a week ago with some of them. Some, you know, what group, who knows, because there's a lot of factions in the black Hebrew Israelite group, which teaches that the Trinity is false, Jesus is not God in flesh, and that black people are the true Israelites and white people are the Edomites and are cursed. And that most of them teach, what I've heard so far, is that when the consummation of the ages occurs, that white people will either be enslaved and really badly treated, or some say enslaved, not badly treated, and some say they'll just be servants of all of the black people who are the true Israelites. In my opinion, it's a racist organization that takes scripture and rips it out of context. So every now and then, I will meet individuals that are rather obstreperous. It happened this morning. I was on a chat room, and this guy, an atheist guy, just starts coming demanding, making demands. You have to answer this way. Answer me this way. I want this. I want that. And then he calls me names. He's swearing. You know, I'm not going to talk to people like that. Bye. See ya. Now, the BHI people I met weren't swearing, okay? And for the most part, they were pretty respectful. But I'm going to tell you, they were strained in their respectfulness. They were strained. It was easy to see. What they wanted to do was dominate, control, ask the questions, and demand I answer according to what they want. And they would do it politely while they're demanding. And it's just, they're trying to be nice, but they're very, very headstrong. And it was difficult to have conversations with them. And I got to the point where, you know, when they would just interrupt, they would were rude, demanding, well, why don't you answer it this way? Why don't you answer it that way, man? You got a problem? You're just difficult. And I said, look, guys, this is after about a half hour. I said, look, so I'm a public figure. And I said, I have a radio show. And I have a website with a lot of visitors. And I'm going to be talking about it, see, because here I am talking about it. And I told them, I said, you are going to be my representatives to what BHI is. And what I'm going to be talking about is how rude you are, how demanding you are. I'm not going to be mentioning it. If you guys are polite, I'm going to say it. If you are patient, I'm going to say that. If you're demanding, rude, don't listen, and are insulting, I'm going to say that too. And it actually caused them to calm down a little bit and then start to have decent conversation, because they didn't like the idea of them representing their group and not doing it properly. And when I said that, they actually toned their act down a bit, and then we were able to have a better conversation, but it didn't last very long. The thing about people who are given over to an ideology is everything else must be submissive to the ideology, whether it's Black Hebrew Israelite, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, atheism, evolution, doesn't matter what it is. It's an ideology. Now, some people will say, like the Muslims will say they serve Allah. Well, actually, they serve Allah and his prophet, because that's what the Quran says, Allah and his prophet, or Allah and his apostle. And so, Muhammad is raised up there as far as importance, not as equal to Allah, but right up there. Boy, you better follow him. And so, it's an attitude you have to have about Allah and Muhammad. And it's not about, of course, not about Jesus. And in Catholicism, it's not about Jesus. It's about Mary. It's about the authority of the church. In Eastern Orthodoxy, it's about the authority of the church and Mary also, but not about Jesus. Now, they'll say Jesus, but it's not about Jesus. We get these groups like the BHI. They'll mention Jesus, but he's not the central issue. Whenever you have a group that uses an ideological precept as their go-to, as their ultimate, whether it's Muhammad and his prophet, or it is the Eastern Orthodox Church, or it's Black Hebrew Israelite theology that the blacks are the superior race and that whites are inferior. Whenever you have something like this, everything else has to be submitted to that kind of ideology. It doesn't matter what it is. You could have a secularist who's a leftist, who's a Marxist socialist. Then in that case, socialism, Marxism becomes the ideology under which everything else must fit. And therefore, lying is permitted. Deceptions are permitted. Now, I'm not saying every one of them are liars and deceivers. But I'm just saying in those kinds of things things are permitted in many groups. And we don't want that. We don't want to have that idea that truth is something that is submissive to an ideological perspective, because that's what a lot of groups teach, and we don't want that. That's just not right. And so I've actually been working on something off and on, and I've been comparing the sacred, the secular, and the cults. And I'm still working on this. I have a table. I've not yet released it. I'll probably release 3 or 4 articles within a day of each other, where I thought, I want to compare them, because I'm seeing the same kind of stuff happen in politics and our government as is happening in cults. And people go, what? Well, I'm going to talk about that. What I'm doing, I'm looking at this grid right now, and you guys can't see it, but I'm looking at it. And it says, it has 3 columns, sacred, secular, and cults. Sacred is Christianity, okay, in the centrality of Christ and his word. Secular, materialism, evolution. And cults, they always have church organization and church authority. Now, what is the ultimate in these 3 groups? In the sacred, the ultimate is, of course, God. And we would say Christ, because Jesus is God in flesh. In the secular, the ultimate authority is materialism, evolution, and a political structure. In cults, it's church organization authority. So only one of them has Christ as the center. In secularism, it's an abstract ideology known as evolution combined with political power, political laws. In cults, it's also an ideology and a political power that's resting in an ecclesiastical organization. Now, in the sacred, human government is not the ultimate authority. But in the secular, it is the ultimate authority. And with cults, the human government's not the ultimate authority. The hierarchical structure, authority in the sacred is scripture. In the secular, it's governmental leaders. It's supposed to be the Constitution, but it isn't, because they're submitting the Constitution to their preferences. We know that's happening in America. And in cults, it's church leadership, prophets, apostles, and or tradition. Now, who gets to interpret things? In the sacred, in Christianity, interpretation is based on the scripture itself. Scripture interprets scripture. In the secular, the lawyers and such interpret the law, judges. And in the cults, the church organization. Punishment is, in the Christian worldview, is from discipline from God, an eternal judgment. And in the secular, it's fines, jails, restrictions, canceling. And in cults, it's excommunication, threat of eternal judgment, etc. Now, here's the thing. In other categories I want to talk about here, with the cults and how they are similar to some issues in the secular, when it comes to rationality, in both groups, the secular and the cults, the rational thinking is subservient to the overarching organization, the organizational structure above them, whether it be a government or a church structure. Rationality must be submitted to that. In Christianity, it's submitted to God's Word, and we are privileged to go look at it for ourselves and see what it is. And in the sacred, man is fallen. But in the secular realm, no, not. Either good or bad. And in the cults, some say man is good and some say man is bad, but they basically say man is basically good. Now, in secularism, they don't officially say that we are good or bad, but there's a lot of laws to handle those people who are bad. But that's an interesting thing we could expand on. And what's truth? Well, in Christianity, truth is defined as that which is revealed from God, found in Scripture. But in the secular realm, truth is defined by societal decree and governmental decree. So therefore, there is no absolute truth. That's where the danger is. Because if truth is not absolute, then morals are not absolute, and your rights are not absolute. And with the cults, truth is defined by what the organizational hierarchical structure says is true. Now, the cults will say they believe in scriptures, but the cults interpret the scriptures. The cults have the authority over the scriptures to tell you what it really means. So they're the ones in control of truth. And in morality, in the sacred, the Christian worldview, it's based on the character of God, and therefore it does not change because God does not change. But in the secular, morality is based on governmental decree and social decree. That's what morality is, and it can change. And so too with the cults. God's character is interpreted by the church's authority depending on modern times. So in Mormonism, for example, God gets their God gets these new revelations that kind of coincide with political necessity. And the same thing happened in the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. It's well documented in both cases for those who want to research. And so cults in the secular are similar in a lot of ways. And I'm working on this. I'm going to continue to work. Anyway, that's just a fun intro. Hey, look, there's a break. Why don't you give me a call? We have nobody waiting once you be the first one. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Just stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Now, this is weird. We don't have any callers waiting right now, so why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now, Carrie Ludwigson in the chat room said that if they can change truth, then they can manipulate the people. Exactly correct. This is why secularism does not want the absolutes of God's existence. If the absolutes of God's existence are there, then there is a right and there is a wrong. But if truth is pliable and not absolute, then truth can be whatever you want it to be. And generally, people who just want truth to be what it wants to be are those who don't mind oppressing others, because it doesn't matter. Hey, truth is whatever you want it to be. So who cares about the rights of those who are underneath us and under our power? So you're going to be controlled by what's in or what's out. And all people are going to be controlled to some degree of what is in them. And I believe in honesty. If I were a politician, I couldn't lie to them. If I was making campaign promises, I could only say I promise to try to do this and this. I couldn't say I'm going to. I'm not God. But politicians will say things that they have no intentions of ever keeping, because they want to lie and use deception to get into office. Why? They don't answer to God. They answer to themselves. And when people who are in power answer to themselves, they don't answer to you. If they answer to God, then they answer to Him, and they're going to be careful what they're going to do and what they're going to say. This is why Christians need to be involved in politics. And because Christians have not been involved in politics as much as we need to be, this is why America is going, out to the outhouse. Because those who are in power don't believe in absolute truth. They don't believe in morality. They don't. Look at Biden. Let's go Brandon. I'm going to type something to the producer. Are we having phone problems? Because we had some callers come in. Oh, I think it's the old show because of the new music. It's not the... There you go. It's not the old show. This is February 9th. Come on, give me a call, folks, and we'll just stick with the old music, which we kind of like better. And so just give me a call, all right? It's live, February 9th, 2022 right now. It's live. All right. So, like Biden as an example, I have no respect for him. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't have respect for anybody who's two-faced, hypocritical, and lies. And when this man who is in office, and I have my doubts about the legitimacy, but that's another topic, he's in office and then he says one thing and does another, then that's a problem. If he says everybody's supposed to be vaccinated and then lets unvaccinated people come in and then distributes those people at our expense into our country, that's hypocrisy. That means we can't trust what he says. That means he's lying publicly, because he's saying one thing on purpose and doing another on purpose. We call that deception. Can you trust someone like that? No, you can't. You know, I listen to the news guys and gals, and I think they all miss something. And I'm not complaining. I mean, they do a better job than I ever could. But I think there's one thing they miss. They miss labeling what it really is and what the motivation and what the dangers are. See, I wish that they'd have me on the air in an interview sometimes and I talked about the theological, ethical issues of the positions that the left is holding to. Not that the right can't certainly make mistakes, as certainly it can. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. But the thing is, when you have people who say one thing and do another, it means they can't be trusted, because it means they're lying to you purposely. If they are in power and they're lying to you purposely, then can you trust them? No. Should we trust them? No, we should not. And if they're working towards the same goal, using deception to get to that goal, what is that goal? Well, we know what the goal is with these leftist moron wackos. It's to turn our country into a socialist regime. Socialism means less power for the people, more power for the government. And so, since that's the case, they don't believe in the rights of individuals, but the rights of the state. That means the state giveth, and the state taketh away. That means the state is the ultimate authority, not God. And because God's not the ultimate authority in their hearts and their minds, they don't have absolutes. Therefore, they can serve their own flesh, their own desires, and whoever's pulling their puppet master strings. And so we can see that what they're doing, by looking at the whole picture, they're pushing towards towards socialism. They're pushing towards the reduction of our rights. They're pushing towards the control of our minds, our emotions. They are saying they don't want us to have the freedom of speech because it disagrees with them. So they're oppressive. These things need to be brought out, and they need to be labeled like a, pin the tail on the donkey. It needs to be pinned on these donkeys for what it is that they are. That they are liars and they're hypocrites. They cannot be trusted. And that they need to be removed from office and never, ever be allowed to hold office again. We need people who are in office who are people of integrity. But the problem with that is, if you get people of integrity in there, the swamp will jump all over them and try and drown them. Because so many people in the swamp are corrupt. One of the things I've noticed is that when you go to the secular news media outlets, that they often repeat the exact same phraseology. Now, Tucker Carlson, I don't agree with everything he says. I've actually said to my wife a few times when he said something, no, that's not correct. And, you know, he's drawn an improper inference. And I've said that more than once. But hey, what he has done many times, or his team has done, is shown how these liberal outlets will say the exact same phrase over and over and over and over again. Now, why is that? Where's the independent thought? It's not there. What is there is the lockstep march to an agenda. When everybody says the same thing, it means people aren't thinking. When all of the leftists point to one direction and one thing, they're being manipulated and controlled by something else. This is obvious. This is how cults work. When a cult is existing in a church situation, on land or on air, on sea, and plane, whatever it is, they do this. They want everyone to say the same thing, to dress the same way, to believe the same stuff. And if you don't, you're ostracized, you're kicked out. There are penalties for it. This is the same thing that's happening in our secular society. It's behaving in a manner familiar with cults. In that, the leaders want their people who follow them to be in submission. Cults often have what's called control markers. Control markers can be found as such things as haircuts, speech patterns, dress patterns, behaviors patterns, and certain things you say a certain way. The same thing occurs with control markers. Wear the mask. Get your passport. Get in line. Don't say anything contrary to the status quo or what's politically correct. We are the ones who decide what you're supposed to say. So you get Psaki up there. I can't believe that wench is up there saying that she wants Spotify to get rid of somebody because they don't like what they're saying. It's an abuse of power, and it's a tactic of cults. This is what's happening in our world today. Okay, folks, look, no calls waiting. I want you to give me a call. It's live. It's February 9th, 2022. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Oh, that's funny. So, Randall in the chat room said, I was going to call, but I hung up because Matt's already taught me everything. So, pretty funny. We got some pretty good comments in there. If you guys are interested in joining us, all you got to do is go to carm.org on Facebook, and you can check it out. Now, what is with everybody? How come they're not calling? This is odd. We're just letting people know. Yeah, we are live. We did do some changes in music, and we went back to the old thing. I just liked it better. I thought it was better, and others did too. And so today is it's a live show, of course. It's February 9th, 2022. So give me a call, 877-207-2276. Now I'm going to read some hate mail because I like hate mail, and it's the middle of the week. Why not? And we usually do it on Fridays, but because no one's waiting and I've already given a bunch of pontifications, I think what I'm going to do is do a little bit of hate mail because I enjoy it. Now, for those of you who don't know, hate mail is hate mail. They write me, they hate me. And here's one. I like short and quick. And so here we go. It would be best for you to support gay rights. If you do not support it, rather take down the online content and keep your views private. So Dion said that I don't have the right to disapprove of gay rights. I don't have the right to, they call them gay rights. I don't think they're gay rights. I think they're extra privileges they get based on sexual behavior. And so it's best. They didn't say why it's best, just that it is. Why? Because she says so. Okay? Take down what you have. In other words, I don't like what you say, take it down. This is what the left does. They should say something like, you know, I don't agree with your opinion. You have the right to say it, but I don't agree with you, and this is why. No, they say, I don't want you to be able to voice your opinion. This is what the left does. They silence others. Hypocrites. They want freedom for themselves, but not anybody else. How about this? I got some calls coming in. I'll do a couple, three more of these. You are very wrong about Pastor Arnold Murray of Shepherd's Chapel. Shame on you for posting your blankety-blank opinion. God sees all. Remember that. I'll pray for you. Please do. But Shepherd's Chapel's whacked. And I like this one. Now, this was good. This is short and sweet. It says, hello, I just have one thing to say to you according to your view of the Joyce Meyer ministry. Out of my way, Satan. But to me, that is awesome. Okay, so I quote Joyce Meyer's Heresies, where she says Jesus stopped being the Son of God, and he's a first born again man, and that she gets revelation knowledge, and that the demons were literally on Jesus in hell. I mean, just, you know, stupidity and false things. They're not in Scripture. And, you know, I expose these, and I document it from her writings, her statements, everything, and just expose it for what it is. It's false teaching, and she should repent. And yet, the person says this, I just have one thing to say to you according to your view of the Joyce Meyer ministry. Out of my way, Satan. Wow, that's good. Now, see, that's how it should be done. That's written by Nicholas. I find, generally speaking, the men write better insults than the guys, than the girls. Why? The girls are a little more flowery, and they kind of don't get to the point as much. The guys, I've noticed, they get right to the point. Out of my way, Satan. See? Quick and easy, and quick and slick. It's efficient. So I appreciate that one. Too bad that the guy doesn't want to think, but that's okay, because, you know, it's what it is. But I like that. All right, there you go. Let's get to Randall from West Virginia. Randall, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. So what do you got?
Before I ask my question, I want to say that women are not always more flowery than men. I've worked with a lot of women that had some of the awfulest potty mouths I ever heard in my life.
Oh yeah, it's. But anyway, when women do that, it really shows you how bad society is getting. When women start acting like men, that's just one step lower. Yeah, women are, you know, women are so delicate, and they have that presence, and you know they just have that femininity and everything, and they need to keep that, because it's powerful, it's wonderful. When they start behaving like men, oh, things are going bad.
Yeah, it really hurts me to hear women talk like that, more so than men.
You know what? I got to interrupt you here. I got to say something. I was in a chat room about a year ago, and these women were in this chat room, potty mouth, filth in this, filth in that. And I said, on purpose, how come you women don't act like ladies instead of being so foul mouth? You should have heard the banshee attack on me by these women. Man, I'm telling you. Oh, I just sat back and just listened. It was pretty awesome. And it went on for like 5 minutes, and I said, and I finally was able to get a word. They said, well, I still think you ladies should act more like, you know, good women instead of foul mouth like guys. Another 5 minutes. So it was entertaining. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, I want to make a comment and ask a question. I'm a full 5-point Calvin.
All right.
And, you know, we're always attacked more than any group that I know.
Oh, yeah.
But now, the hang-up for most people is the limited atonement. And, you know, as I was talking to my son, who he believes just like I do, if I believe like these people that do that attack limited atonement, not putting them down, I mean, I can understand people questioning it.
Yeah.
But they believe that God looked down through time and seen who would be saved and who wasn't, which I don't believe that. I believe God chose. But if I believed like they did, and God knew who was going to be saved and who wasn't going to be saved, given their theology that they were correct, then why would he die for everybody, even using their own logic?
I've used that argument against them. Yeah.
I've had this discussion with in our local Bible bookstore, which we don't have but a couple, and he supplies the books and stuff to our church, but he is against that. He's against Calvinists, and he's also told me if the Calvinists were right about God, then that would make God a monster. And you know, I had to rebuke him for that.
Yeah, I rebuke him. Yeah, that's ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, but, when people say that to me, I say, so let me ask you a question. Did Jesus pay for all their sins, everybody's sins? He'll say, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Then why do they still go to hell if all their sins are paid for?
Right.
So who's making God a monster? You say he's paid for all their sins. Their sins are therefore paid for, and they still go to hell? What? That's not right. That's making God a monster. Why would you do that? You know, it works both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If God just picked out some people to be saved and he didn't give everybody the chance, then that wouldn't be right. And I asked him, what about Israel before Christ came? Why did he only choose Israel and not everybody else?
That's right.
The same thing working in the Old Testament as it is the New.
That's right.
But you didn't have any callers.
No, we got them now, but I'm with you. You know, they'll say it's not right for God to do that, and I'll ask them, excuse me, can you show me where you get this universal truth principle that tells you how God's supposed to be? I want to know about it, because that's what you're doing. God would never do that, and I will never serve a God like that. So you have your own system of righteousness by which you judge what God ought to not do. That is incredibly arrogant. It's arrogance.
Yes.
And they'll say it, and they don't even think twice about it. Man, I'm like, whoa, get away from them, because the lightning bolt's going to get them. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible says.
That's right. That's right, buddy. You are so smart, and you say smart things in the chat room, too.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll get off here if you have other callers.
Now. Yeah, we got callers. We got full lines now because they thought it was. It turns out it was old show. Okay, you're welcome, buddy. Keep it up. All right.
All right.
Bye. All right. All right. Let's get to Carrie from Boise. Carrie, do I know you?
You do know me.
I'm trying to place it.
How are you? I meet so many people.
Oh man, I'm trying to remember it. That's frustrating because I meet so many people. It's hard to remember who's who. But anyway, I'm fine.
Well, good. How's your wife?
Let's just say she's having some more struggles, even more.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I have a question. Okay. Unless you were going to say more about your wife.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. She has bad taste in men. She's dealing with a lot. And she's a good woman. Her best characteristic is her dedication to Christ, no matter what. Great mom. Yeah, a lot of good things to say about her. Hey, can you hold on, though? Because I got
to break. Yes, I can.
All right. And we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's see, we have one open line, 877-207-2276. Carrie, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. Where I go to church, they're doing a study in Hebrews, and Christ returning for his bride, it gets mentioned as an unfulfilled prophecy that still is going to happen. And it just has me wondering, are there other prophecies that have not been fulfilled, or is that just the one?
No, the rebuilt Temple of Jerusalem has to occur, then the invasion of from the east, the 200 million man army, the witnesses have to occur, the sacrifices in the temple have to occur, the Antichrist has to arrive, etc., etc., and then the Lord will return. So there's several prophecies that are still there.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
All right. So what church do you go to, if I can ask? Because I'm trying to place you,
Yeah, Eagle Christian.
Ah.
I used to go to Calvary by the mall, and now I go to Eagle Christian.
And have you been to my Bible studies or one of them? We met there? Or?
I have, yes.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think I've chatted with you there once or twice. And then I also know Pastor Chad. And I've seen you speak at his church before.
Oh, Chad.
Well, that's when he was, Prigmore. That's when he was at the well. So I saw you speak there before.
Yeah, been there. Now I teach a Bible study at my house. So, on Thursdays. But, so I'm trying to remember because, I don't remember too many people because I get inundated with people. And I feel bad about that. You know, I want to remember people. I'm trying to place it. So that's all. So anyway.
Yeah, you would recognize me. You've talked with my daughter, Abby, a little bit, too. And I used to call and say, don't promote Baptist churches on your radio show, which I don't mean to bash Baptist churches. I need to clarify that. But I was having a bad experience with legalism at one, and a lot of strange things going on. So anyway, it just that maybe that jogs your memory.
It does. I think it was, remember a woman and her daughter came in. We were having a lot of conversations in some of the studies. But I think I remember that.
Okay.
All right. Well, so, God bless.
Thank you. I've learned so much from you. You just, you challenged my thinking so much. And it stretched me for a long time. But now it's all become clear. Because all of that manipulation, you cut right through it.
Mm-hmm.
So
people often say,
grateful.
You're welcome. And people often say that when they first start listening, they don't like it, but they keep listening because I'm going, that's scriptural. It's right there. And then it comes together later on, and they like that. Yeah. So good.
Yep.
All right, well, praise God.
So now, your Bible study, is it in person or is it virtual?
Yeah. No, it's in person and virtual. So I put it online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I won't take more time.
Okay. All right. We put it on, God bless. We do the Bible study on Thursday nights. I just put a camera on me and teach with the people that come over to the house. And it's, you can find it on Facebook on, carm.org Facebook. Carm's Facebook page. Wow. But I think of several things at once there. All right, let's get to Ray from Iowa. Hey, Ray, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, brother.
Hey,
I got a question for you about the rapture and 144,000. Originally, I used to believe an end of the world happened, that God would just judge everybody, and that'd be it. I didn't know about the rapture. And then somewhere along the lines, I got taught about the rapture. And I thought it was going to happen, pre-trib. Don't believe that anymore. But I'm trying to study it a little bit more because I got people that believe that, but I'm not being able to find any scriptures on it or anybody that talks about it to set it side by side with like what you believe and compare it.
Oh, you mean post-trib rapture, right?
Well, pre-trib. I'm not pre-trib, but I'm trying to understand where they're coming from, and I'm not even finding anything written.
They're people who have it.
I wonder if Charlie has a link.
You can go to khouse.org, house.org.
Okay.
And Chuck Missler, he was pre-tribulation rapture, very knowledgeable, very godly man. He passed away recently. They probably have books there that can give you information on it.
Okay. Now, isn't that a problem for the 144,000 witnesses? If there is a pre-trib rapture, how could God leave his Jewish predestined behind?
They would say
to go through the rapture if that's
what they would say is
someone would believe.
What they'll say is the 144,000 are male virgin Jews that become, during the tribulation period, after the pre-trib rapture, they'll say that they become the witnesses all over the world, among other things.
Who witnessed to them?
No, they're Jews that the Lord anoints, and they start speaking of him.
Okay.
That's what they would say. All right?
Alrighty, I was just wondering if there was anything else there that didn't make that kind of sense or proved it not to be so.
Well, that's another topic, but there's your answer. Go check out khouse.org if you want to see some pre-trib rapture support information. It's there, I think. Okay?
Alrighty, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Very much. All right. Let's get to Nate. Almost hit the drop. Almost. Nate from California. Nate, welcome. You're on the air.
How are you?
Doing all right.
I hope everything's well and everyone in the family's doing good.
Well, thank you. So what do you got, buddy?
Thanks. I just want to know about the name Jehovah. There are in Christian Bibles, Protestant, you know. But they aren't in some. I have a Bible that's apologetic Bible.
Okay,
and
well,
it has the name Jehovah, but I mean Yahweh.
So, what do you want to know?
And
what do you want to know?
I want to know why, if it doesn't even exist.
The word Jehovah is just an Englishized, a very loose pronunciation of what's called a tetragrammaton. Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, or YHWH, Yahweh, and Yahweh. They don't have a J sound, but someone somehow wrote Jehovah, or J-H-W-H, something like that, and it became Jehovah. That's all it is. It's just a very loose translation or mispronunciation of the original. Not a big deal.
It's no big deal. Is it a big deal for us to say Yahweh?
No.
Because it is for the Jewish.
I say Yahweh, I'll say the Lord, and that's what I'll do. I'll say Jehovah when I'm talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. But
really?
I'll use the
term. Would you say Yahweh?
No, I say Jehovah because I don't need to introduce something that's going to sidetrack them. I just work with what they say. And that's it.
I apologize. I thought you said you said that in front of if you said Yahweh in front of if any Jews have called you.
I don't think the Jews, depending which Jews, I don't think they would really like that. If I was talking to a Jew, I'd just say the Lord Adonai is how it's really kind of done, and in the Greek Kurios, so I'd just say the Lord and then leave it at that.
Yeah. Because the Lord has a lot of several names. May I ask one last question?
Well, we got some callers waiting. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to get to them. Okay?
Roll.
All right, buddy? Call back tomorrow.
You just want to get okay.
We got callers waiting.
God bless.
All right.
God bless. I understand. Do the best.
Oh, I don't know about that, but thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, let's get to Amor from North Carolina. Amor, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, Matt, I'm a regular caller to you. I hear your. Hello?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying in the beginning about socialism and everything. Uh-huh. Do you think it's really. Hello?
Yes. I'm hearing you.
You think you got to the point that. My phone, I guess. I'm using my cell phone.
Just go ahead and ask your question.
You think you got to the point that America will not last that long because of this socialism and
political
correctness and liberalism going on?
Yes, it'll turn into Venezuela. Because a socialist system, when they start taking away your guns, start taking away your rights, and then start having the government be in control of everything, it just leads to oppression. It always does. That's just maybe, how it is in history.
Maybe the I know. But I understand. But the American people might have to wake up and change all this mindset and all these politicians that we put into office.
They should.
Okay.
They should also, I recommend everybody go on web, on the web and look up preamble to the United States Constitution, the preamble, United States preamble, and read it. Because
well,
you need to read
your
it.
Show, it. With your show, it helped a lot, though. It helped a lot. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
But I do recommend people
Thank
read
you, Matt,
the
and,
preamble. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt, and God bless you, and I hope you continue your program for a long, long time.
Good. All right, man. God bless. Also, after you read the preamble, read the Declaration of Independence. Okay, you should read both of those. Everybody should read them. Read the Declaration of Independence. Let's get to Danny from Richmond. Danny, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I was calling up, Matt, to say thank you for your patience with working with Anthony whenever you're talking to the guy from Richmond. He's also from Richmond. I don't know him personally, so it's not anything directed to him personally. But for your patience working with him on establishing what truth is it 2 + 2? No, not really, but it is. That's true, but
right.
It's not truth because of what we come up as humans. So thank you for that.
Right.
That's about it. The other thing that someone talked about tribulation earlier, pre-trib and all that stuff, and
yeah.
I came from a Baptist church, and one woman was talking about Baptist church being legalism, and one of the things that I changed my mind on at that Baptist church was whether pre-trib or post-trib, and it became the way I changed from pre-trib to post-trib was because of a class in the Baptist church. Not that it was promoting post-trib.
Yeah.
It was actually promoting pre-trib. But I was supposed to be the pro-trib person in a debate, and I had to go out and study it. And as I studied it, I started thinking, you know, this post-trib thing looks real. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the class, I actually asked, who even would consider post-trib now? Because I thought the arguments for it was pretty compelling, but in that good Baptist church, nobody would go along with it being a possibility.
Well, I got a story. We're almost out of time, but I was in a debate years ago on pre-trib versus post-trib. And just really quickly, we had to help, I was post-trib, we had to help the pre-tribbers with their arguments to improve them.
Yeah.
Because they were so bad. We did. And then even then, we had to be careful how badly we attacked them, because on stage, we had to make them look bad. It was tough. But hey, we're out of time, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
God bless, man. Hey, folks, there you go. We're back with the old music. And the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on there tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. Stay tuned. God bless, everybody. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.